This is Formation. Today we'll be talking about thin places and a variety of other things. Join us. Welcome to Formation. My name is Shannon Moore. This is a weekly podcast from University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and I just sit down with folks and talk about their life and their spiritual development and faith formation, and I'm so happy today to have with us Mr. Jack Stewart.
Hello.
Jack, thank you so much for doing this.
Sure.
You and I have known each other quite a while now.
Going back.
We were sort of involved in a worship service that was here years ago, and that's how we met.
Correct.
And then I came on staff, and now we work pretty closely together. How long have you been at University Christian Church?
13 years as of February.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And you've had one single job that whole time?
Just one. I just come in, turn on the lights, and leave.
Right. Yeah, that's what you're known for. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, though, that how accurately your parents named you for somebody who has as many trades as you do. You certainly are the jack of all trades.
Master of none.
Around here. I don't know about that, but you keep... Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is
what I actually do?
Yeah.
Well, my title is Media and IT Manager, but that really doesn't kind of incorporate it all. I guess I've got three kind of big areas that are under my... in my world. The first is... media and IT, and basically that means computers, essentially. So all the computer stuff, all the networking stuff, anything that is computer related, that falls under my world. And then AV, so anything that's sound, lighting, anything like that, particularly for the worship services, but also for Sunday schools and the rooms around the church and that kind of stuff. And then lately, I've also kind of taken over communications department. So all the stuff that goes out on the website, all the social media stuff, all the printed materials, all
bulletins,
that kind of stuff.
Bulletins,
all that jazz. So that's all kind of under my umbrella, more or less.
It should keep you busy and out of trouble.
That's the trick, right? Just keep me off the streets.
Well, I know that you, well, I think I know, you're a Fort Worth native.
Well, I was born here, but Dad was a Disciples minister. And
right.
So in my younger years, we kind of bopped around all over the place, Athens, Loveland, all over Texas. And then...
And were you the quintessential preacher's kid?
Oh, yeah. I was very much a PK. I went into every room in every church and flipped every button I could find and, you know, would hang out when Dad was working and goof around the churches. And it actually worked out to my advantage in the end, because I'm very used to coming into empty churches and messing around. It actually worked out well.
So when did you wind up back in Fort Worth?
So Dad decided he wanted to kind of come back and do some writing, and at the time I was about 10, so it was about fifth grade. We came back to Fort Worth, and in the meantime, Dad, while he was writing this big Disciples kind of history thing that he was working on, he needed to make money somehow, and so he started selling computers. Now, this is back in the 80s when basically a computer costs as much as a car, you know.
Is this the Commodore 64 days?
This is about that time, except he was selling kind of more business type computers. And then he got into that as kind of almost a full-time gig, and then started doing interim work on the weekends.
Okay.
So
like pulpit supply kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. And just filling in for things. And he did interim work in Cleburne and Azle, and you know, places that were kind of local around where he didn't have to go off and deal with parsonages or anything like that.
Right. And so during that time, would you go would the family go with him on Sunday mornings to wherever he was?
Yeah, technically we were members here.
Okay.
But because Dad was at all these other churches, I didn't actually grow up at UCC. I grew up in all these little interim churches all over the place. at least till my teens.
Yeah. Were you a camp kid?
No, I was a boy. I was a scout camp kid. So I joined the Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that's what all this jazz is about.
Okay.
And so I joined the Boy Scouts when I could, and I would spend summers at Boy Scout camp. And I actually ended up working at Boy Scout camp for years and years and years. And so that was my camp experience. Not a church, very different from a church camp
right.
experience in as much as the program is concerned, but the you know, outside in the woods and all that kind of stuff I've always loved.
So. My dad was a camp, well, Boy Scout ranger. He managed a camp for the Boy Scouts in Eastern North Carolina.
Nice. We'll have to trade camp
stories.
Trade stories.
Yeah. I didn't camp. I didn't do that. But I did work for him one summer. So, that's pretty interesting. So, how would you describe your childhood faith?
So, again, when we were, when I was younger, we were kind of more in more steady church work. And so I went to church very regularly as a child. And was very much ingrained in kind of that disciples' upbringing. And then I would say by the time I got to be a teenager and really kind of involved more in scouts, and then I was also in band.
Mm-hmm. What'd you play?
Clarinet. And so I being a PK, you kind of get tired of it.
I can only imagine.
You get burnt out, and actually, I'm not just a PK. My grandfather taught at Bright.
Oh, Bright Divinity School.
Yeah, Bright Divinity. He was the professor emeritus of Old Testament there, and he did interim work after he retired. And then my great grandfather was a Scottish immigrant to North Carolina and was a Baptist preacher.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it goes way back.
Yeah, it does. And also, yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but imagine it was hard. It's not always hard. It's not always easy to be a minister.
No.
And the way that sometimes the interactions are between ministers and some congregants, and I bet that was hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, I grew up in a household where, being on the backside of seeing what a preacher does is very different, as I'm sure you know. It's kind of very different from what you see preachers in the pulpit doing, mm-hmm. And so, growing up in as that is kind of my childhood, I kind of eschewed the church a little bit once I got into my teen years. I was kind of like, I'm done with this. I don't want to deal with all that.
You saw how the sausage was made.
Yeah, I really did. Yeah.
Also, well, I'm just going to say, you're really intelligent. And so,
I have a few teachers who would argue with you on that.
Well, I think so. And I know your wife calls you her own personal Google.
Yeah, that's what she calls me.
But was part of that sort of a push and pull between logic, rationality, and some of the more mystical or parts of faith that don't make sense and
so
science and all that.
Yeah, we've been focusing on my father's side of things, and my mom's side of things was very much. So her mom was an immigrant from Ireland, and very steeped in the Catholic traditions, and had some kind of falling out with the church way before I was born. But her side of things was very much more in the mystical kind of the mystery of faith, mm-hmm. and things that we don't normally think of in religion. And I mean, even to the point of fairies and stuff,
Oh yeah. Well, in Ireland, sure.
Yeah. But it very much was ingrained in my mom's upbringing. In a lot of ways, I can kind of see both sides of all those things. It's really kind of it's a weird mix of people, and I'm the outcome. So.
Well, thank goodness, because you've got a lot of gifts and a lot of skills. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back to continue our conversation with Jack Stewart. Well, we are back, continuing our conversation with Jack Stewart. So, Jack, what does your faith life look like now? Because you're here at the church a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that on a typical Sunday morning, I doubt you're in a space where you can just sit and enjoy or take in or a worship service because you're doing so many things.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you, Shannon.
This is an homage to Rich Darr.
Yeah, maybe.
It's maybe a little bit.
My pipe wrench.
You're crazy. I love it.
So, sorry.
You had to
maybe
do it.
Just right. I had to
you
do
had
it.
To do it.
Oh, yeah. In a lot of ways, church is a job for me. And I don't mean that. For the vast majority of people, it isn't. And mm-hmm. and I don't want it to be. I want church to be church for them. And mm-hmm. I want it to be a place for worship for them. And that's part of my job, though, is to make sure that all of those things happen.
So that they can have a great experience.
So that they can have exactly. They can have a meaningful worship experience in a place that is sacred for them. Mm-hmm. And but it takes somebody kind of behind the scenes to do that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. that's how I see my role. But yeah, it doesn't leave a lot of space for me to worship. Sunday is not a day of Sabbath for me. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I'm part Jewish. I don't know. I tend to take Saturdays off, yeah. you know, for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to try to find very quiet, meditative places for myself, that are not church for my interaction.
Nature or?
Yeah, a lot of times. Nature, travel. I like to go to places that are different and that kind of stuff. So.
And I know you've traveled quite a bit.
More and more as I can. You right. know, growing up as a PK, we didn't have a lot of money, and so we didn't. Traveling was like, oh, hey, we got a revival like down in Central Texas. You're like, ooh, okay.
Oh,
but,
yay!
but yeah, as my wife and I have gotten older, we've luckily been very blessed to have the ability to go to places, Scotland and Ireland and Europe and that kind of thing.
So very often we hear people talk about thin places or
yeah.
places that
big fan of that idea
that feel holy, like the veil between mm-hmm. this realm and another realm is very thin.
Yeah.
Have you encountered something like that in your travels?
Yeah, very much so. There are places in Scotland that are just off the beaten track, out in the islands. Iona was a really great example of that, I think. And there's a very, when you go there, if you ever get a chance, recommend people go there because it's very obvious why there was a monastery there, built there.
And is that the place that takes so long to get to?
Yes. Yeah, you have to go to the far west side of Scotland and then get on a ferry to another island and then drive way to the far side of that island and get on another little ferry and go off. And you can't even drive on that ferry. You have to walk. And once you're on the island, there aren't really cars. And you have to walk to the monastery.
Wow.
It's not an easy place to get to, but it's almost equidistant between Ireland and mainland Scotland. And so that's why it was a place where the Irish monks had a great deal of influence at that time because it was that ocean crossroads,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily a place to get there, you know, by foot or by, horse, but definitely a place to get to by boat.
What does it feel like for you to be in a place like that?
Oh, that's a great question. Generally, in those thin places, I feel calm and centered.
Mm.
You know, I tend to just kind of let things flow by me in a way that in my day-to-day life I don't. I consider myself very much a firefighter in a lot of ways, so I'm
always putting out
some kind of fire. Yeah. And it can be a little frantic, and I love that. I think I excel at that, mm-hmm. but when I get to those thin places where there's a certain amount of nature, and you know, where I can, things are kind of peaceful and calm. Mm-hmm. I can kind of lean into that a little bit. I really like that.
Almost as if your spirit is taking a deep breath, it sounds like. Yeah, yeah. And then that affects how you feel physically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to talk about thin places. One place that a lot of people say feels like a thin place to them is New Mexico, Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, oh yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel that?
I didn't get too much of it in Santa Fe.
But, me either.
I don't know, but maybe that was just me.
No, it's whenever I'm in Santa Fe, I'm like, well, there's another brown building.
Yeah. Oh, look, Adobe. Okay.
And look.
It's pretty. I don't
some turquoise.
Mind it, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't feel that. But I know people who really
feel
that.
Hey, and if they do, that's great.
Yeah, for me, it's up in the mountains of North Carolina.
I can see that.
Up at
yeah.
that Montreat mm-hmm. area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right outside of Asheville, Black Mountain.
Sure. Yeah, my grandmother spent a lot of time up there.
Yeah, so, yeah. To me, that feels very close.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that.
And I grew up east,
yeah.
but...
On the other side. But mm-hmm. the Smoky Mountains, all that area up there can Beautiful. Be just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
My other place that I find a lot is at the scout camp I was at. I very much consider that a thin place.
You married into a family of musicians.
You know, I had to audition just to date.
Right. You had to do scales and
Once they figured out I could operate a soundboard and move a piano, they were like,
oh,
all
you
right,
were in.
Okay, yeah.
What role does music play a role for you in your faith?
I definitely think it plays a role. I'd be hard-pressed to pinpoint what that role is, but mm-hmm. it's omnipresent for me. I'm one of those people who always have kind of a tune going in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to work on the theme band to follow me around everywhere and
yeah.
play my theme song. But it would be kind of a John Williams-esque mix of the Superman theme song and Indiana Jones, so that when I walked into a room,
oh, that'd be
a lot
great.
Of French horns, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So,
well,
yeah.
let's see what we can do about that. I hear we're going to have a lot of brass here on Easter.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe we can. They need a side gig.
So, would you say you lean more toward hymns, or do you also find more contemporary or even secular music?
Yes, and
both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will go all the way from, you know, I'll do Mendelssohn, I'll do Bach, I'll do Sufjan Stevens, I'll do, you know, I'll run the gamut. I don't mind. Good music is good music, right? Doesn't matter
yeah.
when it's from or who's doing it. If mm-hmm. it's truly well done music, it's transcendent in that world.
Yeah. So. Well, I want to thank you on behalf of everybody here at the church for all that you do to ensure sure. that we can have such a meaningful experience in all of our worship services, not just in the sanctuary, but also our 1010 service in the fellowship hall. I know that has its challenges
sometimes
acoustically and with some of the setup that we have. So thanks for that. And I always enjoy chatting with you. So thanks for coming and chatting with me today.
Sure.
And if you would like to come and chat with me and share your faith story, I would love to talk to you. Simply email me, formation@ucccftw.com, and I would love to get in touch with you and have you come and sit in that chair. So thanks, Jack, and thank you, and we'll see you next time. Take care.